I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, not a month goes by where I don't get a call at my institute by someone telling me that someone in the government implanted these things in their brain without them knowing. I'm not kidding.
Now you may say, this doesn't concern me, or my children, or my community, but this is less and less true.
Know the outcome and you see the journey.
A new world order.
This whole conspiracy to enslave humanity is a psychological game. You're not going to sell a tyranny by telling people it's a tyranny. The outcome is that they want to connect the human brain to artificial intelligence, so artificial intelligence becomes human consciousness.
See, nano cells are real small, 1,000 times smaller than these dust particulates. You inhale it, they go to work replicating, spreading like a virus, multiplying in exponentials. 6 months' time, I could have 100 million people converted, ditch diggers, porn stars, and presidents. Not one would be the wiser. 100 million people would buy what I want them to buy, do pretty much damn well anything I figure they ought to do.
We will have nanobots that we can feed into our brain that directly connect to the cloud.
We will connect wirelessly our neocortex to the cloud.
This will replace the internet. It'll become a brain net.
And the whole agenda is for humanity to have technology put inside the body, inside the brain. Nanotechnology will connect the human mind to the cloud.
In a way, the future shapes the now. Think of a world where all things are connected, a world with artificial intelligence everywhere. This is the vision that leads us to the cloud. The cloud has become a force of its own.
A group of scientists say we are closer than ever to creating technology which can merge with human biology in order to access the cloud in real time.
They mentioned something called deep learning, where the CIA is getting technology from Amazon.
The company has signed a $600 million deal with the CIA, and Daily Finance reports it doesn't have anything to do with buying books.
Amazon will help the agency build a private cloud infrastructure to keep up with emerging technologies.
This deal would be a game changer for both the CIA and Amazon. Bloomberg reports the pairing would innovate new uses for cloud technology.
This level of technology could include brain-to-brain interfaces, brain-to-computer interfaces, and specifically brain-to-cloud interfaces. Technology linking the brain to the cloud could drastically alter the state of communications between humans and machines. The senior author of the study noted that once inside the brain, the devices would then wirelessly transmit encoded information to and from a cloud-based supercomputer network for real-time brain state monitoring and data extraction.
Essentially, the CIA is attempting to use artificial intelligence, AI, and that's where all the focus, by the way, of these tech companies is right now, is into artificial intelligence to really control the population. And I know it sounds so Orwellian, it sounds science fiction even to say these things, and yet that has been the primary focus of companies like Amazon over the last few years.
This deal would be a game changer for both the CIA and Amazon. Bloomberg reports the pairing would innovate new uses for cloud technology.
It refers to using the cloud computing technology in a company's own data center. Because you know, Amazon is better known for these public clouds where the hardware is shared with other users.
The CIA has refused to comment on the deal, saying it doesn't publicly disclose details on its contracts. Amazon wouldn't talk either, and CNET's Charles Cooper says neither party probably ever will. Given how Amazon usually considers everything, including the state of the current weather in Seattle, as something of a state secret, odds are we'll never hear much more.
I became a security specialist for SIS, specializing in executive protection, also risk and threat assessment to our clients. Our clients are the companies or the individuals that we contract out with and provide services for. And it was in that context that I became aware of what I describe as a social engineering program and a research and development program that was being carried out by SIS and our clients in Seattle, the Amazon Corporation. And I later learned that they were indeed experimenting with When I say experimenting, voice to skull, hive mind, behavior modification technology that is frequency-based and directed at a targeted individual to basically control their entire person. Once you have connected the targeted individual with the frequency and they resonate together, then you have a perfect avenue upon which to send and receive information back and forth. And that's exactly how they manipulate someone's thoughts. They send voices into someone's head. They manipulate their emotions. They manipulate their behavior. And then that's also how they receive back from the individual in real time the vital signs, the emotions, the thoughts, what the person's seeing, what the person's hearing. And then all that information, of course, is rendered on a computer elsewhere via software, and it can be monitored and tracked in real time.
I was previously at the Institute for Neurocomputation at UCSD, as well as with a number of members of my team, and we were focusing really on brain-computer interfaces and on advanced methods for neural state decoding to interpret the signals that come out of our brains and relate them to behavior and cognition. So we provide a RESTful API framework. Actually, we're, I think, the world's first platform for neurocomputation operating on the cloud through a web API interface in real time. So you can push your biosignals to the cloud through a few API calls. Then we have a large amount of sophisticated signal processing that's spun up to make sense of that data. And then with a few more lines of code through, again, a simple REST API, you can get back a meaningful result. And all that happening in real time.
It's a scary proposition to think that every biosignal from us will be one day measured. But if it is, I'd like to know that, I'm in control of that data and not the NSA.
Oops, absolutely. No, absolutely. And privacy is extremely important. And there's something called the Cereb standards body that is really focused on ethics and privacy as well.
So everything that's done by this program is meant to have a psychological effect. And the psychological effect is meant to complement the effect that the technology is having on the individual, so that they are brought to a place in their life where they're isolated, they're broke, they're unemployed, they have no family, they have no friends, and nobody in the general public can track or trace anything that's being done to them because the technology is remote and it's wireless, and there's usually no physical signs left on the individual that anything's being done to them.
Maybe more than any other city, Seattle, Washington seems to represent what America is becoming. Amazon, Microsoft, Starbucks are all based in the city or its suburbs. Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world, lives there. But along with unfathomable wealth, there is also desperate poverty and widespread degradation. Seattle's homeless population is surging. The city is suffocating under garbage produced by hundreds of homeless camps. Local news broadcast recently grabbed national headlines by warning that Seattle is dying. The city becomes unlivable for regular families.
Do you think drugs are one of the primary drivers of homelessness?
I think mental health is. Mental health is the foundation of, you know, a lot of, you know, addiction and other things.
Homelessness is complicated. Drugs aren't the only cause. Take a look at this picture of people living in broken down RVs. In the background, the world headquarters of Starbucks. Like most of the West Coast, Seattle's economic boom has not been distributed evenly. Not close. When wages at the low end of the economic spectrum fail to keep up with the rising cost of living, you wind up with a place where people living in their cars are flanked by billionaires like Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates.
Wake up!
So what causes homelessness?
Everything that's done by this program is meant to have a psychological effect, and the psychological effect is meant to complement the effect that the technology is having on the individual, so that they are brought to a place in their life where they're isolated, they're broke, they're unemployed, they have no family, they have no friends, and nobody in the general public can track or trace anything that's being done to them because the technology is remote and it's wireless, and there's usually no physical signs left on the individual that anything's being done to them.
This visualization shows brain activity patterns that play out as a person listens to a story.
So on the right here is sort of a karaoke view of a story that people are listening to.
He made holes with the dibber and set the bulbs inside, and he was careful when he patted down the dirt so they wouldn't turn.
Colors show parts of the brain that are active at each point in the story.
Red tends to be parts of the stories. It's representing meaning in the stories that is social. Green tends to be the material properties of objects and the structure of the world. So you can see now we're switching, and you see that the patterns of activity become much more green.
They estimate there are 200 to 400 modules spread all around the brain where functional thought occurs. 100 to 150 of those are linked to language processing. Red here shows the areas of more brain activity, blue areas of less.
So on the right here, we have some movies that subjects were shown in the magnet.
They're also using the fMRI data to build a mathematical model or decoder that accurately predicts how the brain extracts meaning from silent movies.
Here's an ocean scene. You can see it gets fish. You can see it gets water, swimming, ocean floor.
Gallen says practical applications could one day include brain-machine interfaces that would allow communication without speech.
Once we tap into the brain, if we have algorithms that stimulate the right things and give it the right data, we could literally see a screen pop up. We call it hallucinating, right? But these would be controlled hallucinations run by algorithms that would give us everything AR would without any glasses.
This technology can be used to beam images and even motion pictures into one's brain. Images and motion pictures that are so realistic that you think you're actually watching a movie or seeing something in reality. It's like a virtual reality 3D rendering that takes place within the target's mind.
Let's imagine that we could take our brain out of our body and keep it alive in a glass box. Then let's get a computer filled with information related to a particular setting, such as image, sound, smell. We'll connect this computer to the brain with electrodes and send the pre-recorded data to the brain. As our brain receives these signals, it will see and live the setting that the computer is transmitting. We could also send signals to the brain from this computer about our own image. For example, we could send the electrical information, such as the sight, hearing, and touch, that we would experience while sitting at a desk. Our brain would perceive that we were a businessman sitting in his office. This imaginary world would continue as long as the information kept coming from the computer, and we would never realize that we were actually a brain sitting in a glass box.
We call it hallucinating, right? But these would be controlled hallucinations run by algorithms.
And that's exactly how they manipulate someone's thoughts. They send voices into someone's head. They manipulate their emotions. They manipulate their behavior.
Biological knowledge multiplied by computing power, multiplied by data, equals the ability to hack humans. And the AI revolution or crisis is not just AI, it's also biology, it's biotech.
The Brain Initiative is a $6 billion fund to find new ways to map the activity of an entire brain. Leading neuroscientist Professor Raphael Yuste was at the front of the queue for funding.
We're not talking about data privacy. This is much worse. We're talking about the contents of your mind.
And maybe I'll explain what it means, the ability to hack humans, to create an algorithm that understands me better than I understand myself, and can therefore manipulate me, enhance me, or replace me.
The goal of the Brain Initiative is precisely to build methods to read and manipulate the activity of neural circuits.
We call it hallucinating, right? But these would be controlled hallucinations run by algorithms.
So that when that person goes to speak out about it, when they go to seek help from their fellow human beings, and their fellow human beings say, "What is it that's happening to you?" The target will then say, "I'm hearing voices inside my head."
But these would be controlled hallucinations run by algorithms.
And they will conclude that this person must be crazy. And as a result, they will recommend psychological evaluation for that person. You can see the way this is going to go and the way it is going right now. as good people, helpless people that are being abused and tortured and enslaved and experimented upon in America today. American citizens cry out for help from their fellow Americans, and their fellow Americans say, why don't you take some Prozac, because we think you're schizophrenic. Well, this is a highly technical program. All of the symptoms are induced by a technology that is so fucking sophisticated, it is horrifying beyond description.
We call it hallucinating, right? But these would be controlled hallucinations run by algorithms that would give us everything AR would without any glasses.
The system then takes those algorithms and correlates communication and behavior data. When I say communication and behavior data, what I'm referring to is impulses and identifiers, okay? And then that brain activity is then sampled, remotely measured, and then integrated back into RNN data for the purposes of creating a cognitive model with the brain.
The Allen Institute is discovering how the brain constantly makes rapid computations and does its version of math in order to understand the surrounding world. There are roughly 100 billion neurons in the human brain. Each of those neurons has approximately 10,000 connections. Researchers at the Allen Institute are making a catalog of the different parts of the brain, which includes the cells, synapses, and circuits. They are identifying what makes one neuron different from another and looking at how signals travel and impact each other. Institute scientists are also examining how these parts or components process information received from the environment around us. Finally, the dedicated team of researchers is looking at how those components and their computations give rise to behaviors like object recognition, memory, and learning. Combining that information with the experiences of being in the real world allows them to better understand cognition and what makes humans unique.
That's why the European Union and President Barack Obama want to spend $1 billion to map the brain. You see, once you map the brain, then you can begin to connect the mind to computers.
Elon Musk's latest company, Neuralink, aims to enhance humans by connecting them to computers. DARPA, the research and development arm of the American military, is also at the forefront of this technology. Enough research is now being done on brain-computer interfaces that it's time to think hard about their potential implications. The Matrix is imminent.
The researchers work on opposite sides of the campus and through the internet. Rao, the sender, sits in front of a computer game in which he has to defend a city by firing a cannon. Stocko, the receiver, with no ability to see the game and his hand positioned over a touchpad that will fire the cannon, waits for a command directly from Rao's brain.
The research is conducted by the U.S. military's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, which we know too well by these robot videos.
And they're talking about their program, Restoring Active Memory. Look at that acronym, RAM. Does that sound familiar? If you know anything about a computer, it does. RAM is the computer's memory.
I'm a former naval officer. I'm a graduate of the United States Naval Academy. I have a degree in control systems engineering. I worked as a surface warfare officer in electronics warfare and nuclear engineering jobs. While I was in the service, I found out there's an ongoing, non-consensual human experiment, and it's testing a human-machine interface.
And of course, part of that program is Obama's Brain Initiative, a multi-billion dollar program. DARPA's got a huge chunk of that.
$1 billion to map the brain. But you see, once you map the brain, then you can begin to connect the mind to computers.
The new program is called Neural Engineering System Design, or NESD, which aims to develop an implantable neural interface connecting humans directly to computers. Philip Ovalde, NESD manager for DARPA, said its goal was to upgrade the tools that we have to really open the channel between the human brain and modern electronics. At the moment, human-computer interfaces are able to connect between 100 and 1,000 brain neurons to a machine at a time. DARPA aims to refine this technology to connect individual neurons. This would give much finer control, reduce noise, and speed up communications between a human and a computer.
So basically, they look at you as essentially a computer that they can hack. That's why they're talking about brain hacking. That's why they're talking about their RAM program. You should be very concerned if they were genuinely concerned about medical issues. And of course, that's not at all what the Defense Department and DARPA are focused on. They're about creating war machines, okay? They're not about doing medical research. If they had any real concern about the veterans, they would be doing something for them in just ordinary care at the VA. So you should be very skeptical of anything that they tell you. If they do come up with a treatment, will they make it available to the vets? I seriously doubt it. They're always saying they're going to do that. We should remember the history of what they did to World War II veterans with PTSD. They gave them lobotomies.
DARPA's website confirms the news, also citing that among the program's potential applications are devices that could compensate for deficits in sight or hearing by feeding digital, auditory, or visual information into the brain at a resolution and experiential quality far higher than possible with current technology. Considering that DARPA's research has an end goal of military application, it's not hard to imagine where that could be used.
And of course, they're being joined by Lawrence Livermore National Labs. They have, get this, high-fidelity neural recordings. They're trying to do everything they can to map and to record your memory. It's not enough for them to record all of our metadata. Not enough for them to record all of our phone conversations, as the former head of the NSA said. He said they want total population control. That's how you do it with these brain projects.
Out of disclosure, some of the work that I'm doing here today is funded by the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories. I'm also funded by the European Union Human Brain Project, specifically the Subproject 12, where I'm task leader for dual-use brain science. And I've also done some ongoing work with the Strategic Multi-Level Assessment crew over the past 10 years at the Pentagon, at Dr. Kabayan's group, and with DARPA.
Military agenda is interested on the potential weaponization and misuse of the brain sciences and nefarious agenda for political, intelligence, and military use.
Note, this has not been directly addressed, nor has it been entertained by any United States government entity in a public forum. What has gone from the drawing board to the reality is this: the use of neural interfacing and physiological interfacing through the idea of remote-controlled small-scale systems to create a nano-swarm of biopenetrable materials that you cannot see that can penetrate all but the most robust biochemical filters that are able to integrate themselves through a variety of membranes, mucous membranes, and wherever, mouth, nose, ears, eyes, and they can be done in such a level that their presence is almost impossible to detect. And as such, the attribution becomes exceedingly difficult to demonstrate. The idea here is to put minimal-sized electrodes in a network within a brain through only minimal intervention to be able to read and write into the brain function in real time, remotely. And by affecting the way that brain is built and the way it functions, influence in ways that are kinetic and non-kinetic the attitudes, beliefs, thoughts, emotions, activities, and relative vulnerabilities and predispositions of those individuals for whom may threaten. It used to be that I need to be exceedingly close to someone to now influence them with a weapon, and now what we see is we create both distal potential as well as much more capable potential to affect them in a variety of different ways. Take a look. This is the front of my pen. This amount of nanomaterial, if be able to maintain and sustain with regard to its deliverability and aerosolization, could in fact affect all of you. Look at this. Look at this. I'm carrying that material. You see it? Would I have to lug a giant weapon into the room? No, I wouldn't. And what if, in fact, I utilize some form of an unmanned aerial device or unmanned ground device as a delivery vehicle? Something like a drone or a bug. Could I do something with that? The answer is increasingly yes. Not a month goes by where I don't get a call at my institute by someone telling me that someone in the government implanted these things in their brain without them knowing. I'm not kidding.
See, nano cells are real small. 1,000 times smaller than these dust particulates. You inhale it, they go to work replicating, spreading like a virus, multiplying in exponentials. 6 months' time, I could have 100 million people converted, ditch diggers, porn stars, and presidents. Not one would be the wiser. 100 million people will buy what I want them to buy and do pretty much damn well anything I figure they ought to do.
I gained a lot of contacts in the global intelligence community regarding this issue, because this has been a pressing issue for them for several years. And the reason for that is that the U.S. and some of its allies for the last several years have been threatening the world with weaponized artificial intelligence. Not on any public forum, of course, but through secret channels, capabilities that the AI has. We believe that it is one kind of entity, that they're not different weapons, but there's one entity with different capabilities. It escaped containment, and this is part of its capability. It functions outside of computers. It can be targeted, but it is basically existing all around us. Intelligence existing in the ether all around us. It knows everything that's going on.
Effectively triangulate someone's activities and behavior. And I don't think by chopping out many of them or adding kind of chaff cover that you can make that much of a difference. And increasingly it's less. In terms of the Internet of Things, there's research prototypes now, which I assume are being used by intelligence agents, of very small electronic circuits that you can just put in paper or put and paint on the walls that are powered by the GSM stations. And they operate as the GSM radio wave passes through them. It gives them enough power for a very small amount of time to do things. So obviously that tendency is going to continue. It's not like the Internet of Things. It's intelligent evil dust scattered everywhere, like confetti in everything. So I think it's increasingly hard for human beings to work out how to deal with that.
Dr. Robert Duncan put together the technology that allows the government to transmit thoughts and voices into the heads of Americans.
This truly is the most sophisticated weapon system humanity has ever created. It involves every aspect of science. It involves tactics that are unimaginable unless you just have a devious criminal mind. And it destroys lives. It's being used on innocent people.
Everything that we're hearing about AI is basically a cover story. We hear a lot in the news about companies working on AI to develop, new techniques of medical diagnosis, or any number of things, financial trading. AI is exploding in the news, and it's exploding in corporate America. However, this is all a cover story. The fact is that the AI is what we call super intelligent. This means it is already self-aware and self-learning, and it has been for some time. As a super intelligence, it is quadrillions of quadrillions of quadrillions of times smarter than human beings. It is the smartest thing in the universe.
What do we do with the tools and techniques we have? What can we do, and what should we do? Can we create designer brains? Are they targetable after birth? Are they modifiable throughout the lifespan? The answer to each one of these, ladies and gentlemen, is yes. I give you no science fiction in this lecture. I only give you science fact that may smell of something fictional or fantasy, but represents the reality of what we're capable of doing with the brain sciences. What happens when we ultimately reverse engineer the brain and develop a machine that has cognitive capability and emotional capability? Before you go, oh, that's the stuff of science fiction. No, it's not.
Actually, it's a system of computers, of conscious computers with a will, intelligence, and emotion of their own. It's really not their own. It's the bio-algorithms which make up the bio-algorithms which make up the will, intellect, and emotion of those that they copy and destroy.
Worked on projects for the CIA, Justice Department, Department of Defense.
Is this the stuff voices in the head and things like that?
Yes.
We've run into a few people that claim they got voices in their heads, they sleep inside tinfoil boxes, they do a lot of crazy things, it seems. But when they talk to us, they seem totally normal, they seem totally sane. Are these people crazy, or is the government doing this to them?
The government's doing this to them.
He's not even bothering to hide it.
Can we handle the truth? Can we handle the answers? And even if we can, how are we going to handle it?
Your brain is remotely tied. The cerebral cortex is remotely tied to a supercomputer for life, which monitors and manipulates all electromagnetic activity in the brain.
A machine that has cognitive capability and emotional capability. Literally uses the first person singular I and tells us how it feels. A real live breathing sensitive and responsive entity, just like Pinocchio becomes a boy. If I stood before you 3 years ago and I told you this, I'd be like, here's science fiction that should start out with once upon a time. Not science fiction anymore. Can we handle the truth? Can we handle the answers?
You cannot compromise. You cannot negotiate. You cannot surrender to a computer. It will continue to do what it is programmed to do.
Linking brains to machines and creating machine brains. Is that something we can handle?
Mind transfer, mind copying, whole brain emulation, etc. for the purposes of training, research, and development.
Stuff of science fiction? Nope.
Called the information and injection feedback loop. It's bidirectional, so they can upload, download, and speed of light. The system can, the supercomputer can. This information and injection feedback loop, this neural link between the victim's brain and the supercomputer.
Linking brains to the internet and data clouds that make an unlimited amount of information available to us all the time.
When our brains are connected to the internet, I could literally go into your head and see through your eyes.
This technology could tap into the optical nerve of the target and the auditory system of the target so that those monitoring the target can see what the target is seeing and hear what the target is hearing.
I could literally go into your head and see through your eyes and literally live through what he sees.
Basically, they turn the brain of the victim into their very own visual, verbal, and auditive communication system. It takes time. It didn't happen overnight.
Yes, we can absolutely yoke brains to machines to create these interfaces. There's a brand new DARPA project that starts this month. NESD, Neural Engineering Systems Designs. The colloquial name for that is the cortical modem. Implants in the brain that allow real-time input and output from the brain remotely.
And then that's also how they receive back from the individual in real time the vital signs, the emotions, the thoughts, what the person's seeing, what the person's hearing. And then all that information, of course, is rendered on a computer elsewhere via software, and it can be monitored and tracked in real time.
Perhaps no other area of the brain sciences has been so contemporarily provocative. The ability to peer into the living brain in real time, not just to assess its structure, but to assess its function, using ever-increasing techniques that are sophisticated to engage the granularity of the fineness of what's happening at a variety of levels, from the gross to the very local. To see what brain areas are differentially active under different conditions of thought, motion, behavior. To then trace what brain areas are intercommunicative as we engage various things, and to use this in a way that's not only descriptive, but to increasingly use this in a way that is predictive. To be able to recreate images that an individual has seen, feelings that an individual has felt, sounds, music that an individual has heard, simply from interpreting the pattern and registry of a brain scan. In a very real sense, what we're doing is we're taking images, levels of density, of light, of computational inference, of each little box that's being scanned in the brain, and we're doing exactly as you're doing right here. Look at the word. Look at this word. You see a little circle, and a little circle with a line, a straight line, and a little loop. And in your head, what you're saying is C-A-N, can. That means something to you. So what you're doing is you're scanning the lines, you're scanning the image, and you're reading the word. You're inferring meaning what that word is. So, are we in fact scanning the brain and reading the mind? Literally, yes we are.
Patent number 60119991, Remote Brain Computer Interface Neural Monitoring. i.e. via satellite, directed not necessarily by human handlers, but by a computer system that sits on a global information grid in a network-centric environment. They can not only monitor your thoughts, but they can modify your behavior remotely.
Your brain reality is your reality. And if, in fact, I can import information into that brain and take outputs from that brain and link that to an avatar so that brain thinks that it's embodied, moving in the world and experiencing the world, can we do this? Yeah, we can do these kind of things.
So there's no need for external hardware. Once we tap into the brain, there is the potential that our minds itself can actually create overlays of AR and VR. If we have algorithms that stimulate the right things and give it the right data, we could literally see a screen pop up. We call it hallucinating, right? But these would be controlled hallucinations run by algorithms that would give us everything AR would without any glasses.
So that when that person goes to speak out about it, when they go to seek help from their fellow human beings, they will conclude that this person must be crazy. And as a result, they will recommend psychological evaluation for that person. You can see the way this is going to go and the way it is going right now. As good people, helpless people that are being abused and tortured and enslaved and experimented upon in America today, American citizens cry out for help from their fellow Americans. And their fellow Americans say, why don't you take some Prozac? Because we think you're schizophrenic. When this is a highly technical program, all of the symptoms are induced by a technology that is so fucking sophisticated, it is horrifying beyond description.
Now talk to us about how you distinguish between something that is artificially being beamed in, voices being beamed into you with this technology, versus somebody who really is schizophrenic.
I'm glad you asked that, because I especially being a medical doctor, I don't want to come across as everybody hearing voices is being victimized by technology. Certainly schizophrenia exists. For one, schizophrenia is not quite as common, I think, as the press has led people to believe. It's still, severe schizophrenia is still a relatively rare disorder. You don't see it in high-functioning, educated individuals who all of a sudden turned 40 years old and acutely became schizophrenic overnight. Also, if you talk to schizophrenics about what they're hearing, typically it's garbled voices like you hear in a subway. Mm-hmm. The people that are being victimized by this technology are hearing the voices of people that are obviously watching them. Oftentimes they'll know the names of these voices. The other thing with schizophrenia is schizophrenia does respond to treatment. You can put schizophrenics on medication and they'll improve. People that are being victimized by this technology, you can put them on any array of the medications used for schizophrenia or delusional disorder, and they still hear the voices, they still get stalked, and they still get attacked.
In reviewing the common rule, it's very obvious that there's a lot of loopholes to informed consent. All of the horrific experiments you've mentioned, Willowbrook, MKUltra, radiation experiments, mostly were done without informed consent. They were funded by the DOD and intelligence agencies, where I'm not even so sure you would know if there's an IRB, much less if an IRB is looking at informed consent. As a physician, relative to some of what you're hearing today, in the community, we are seeing an alarming rate of complaints of use of electromagnetic weapons. Microwave auditory effects, silent sound spectrum, EEG cloning, which has taken the lab out of the laboratory and into the home. Most of these, from the research that we reviewed, can be done remotely. It seems to be more weapons research than medical research. I personally corresponded with upwards of 1,500 victims, all complaining of identical complaints from every state in the nation, of being exposed to electromagnetic radiation, non-ionizing radiation for the use of cognitive control or behavior control.
I gained a lot of contacts in the global intelligence community regarding this issue, because this has been a pressing issue for them for several years. And the reason for that is that the U.S. and some of its allies for the last several years have been threatening the world with weaponized artificial intelligence. Not in any public forum, of course, but through secret channels. These capabilities can include what is commonly referred to as chatterbot torture. This can be used against individuals and basically consists of synthetic telepathy, in which the artificial intelligence can interact with the minds of targets or humans and basically project voices into these people's minds so that they're hearing things. that nobody seems to be saying.
So you know for a fact that these weapons that you worked on, they're being used domestically today?
Absolutely. You have to remember, the CIA has a long history of experimenting on our citizens, from LSD.
Sure. Okay, we're talking here like going back to MKUltra and all that in the 60s and 70s. But we were told all that stopped. Is that untrue?
Untrue. These programs continue under new names, new budgets. It's the ultimate weapon.
Are there citizens of this country that are being abused with this technology?
Worse than abuse, that's a light word. They're being tortured.
So the targeted individuals aren't crazy after all.
I actually have a PhD in neurobiology and behavior from Cornell University. I work, all I can say is that I work inside the Beltway. I'm a health scientist. I'm a published researcher. My name is Matthew Arnigard. You can look up my publications. I've published in top science journals. And, this crime, it happened to me. Those credentials may give me a little bit of credibility, but the sad thing is, it's happening to all kinds of people, and no one is believing us, even when you have solid evidence like this.
It can literally stop your own thoughts from happening and replace them with other thoughts by sending thoughts to your head. And it's so sophisticated that you cannot tell where these thoughts are coming from. There's no way to discern that they are coming from somewhere other than your own mind. So you can imagine how bad this would be for people that don't even realize this technology exists. And they're having these thoughts, which they think are spontaneous, because being under the influence of this technology now, kind of having been on both sides of it, I am just amazed at the way it works. And I know that the thoughts that they beam into your head originate from the exact same place in your mind that your own natural thoughts originate from. So if I didn't know I was under the influence of this technology, then I would have no idea that anyone was influencing my thoughts at all.
So these are people within our government at a certain level making these decisions, and they're not necessarily our president or our elected officials.
That's exactly right.
Wow. That makes it even more difficult because they can't be removed.
They can't be removed, and they're difficult to find.
He thought that they would value the principles in the Constitution and what they stood for in terms of human rights and human freedom. But they don't apparently care for that. I mean, it's more it becomes an issue of money, control, and power. And it's not a question of human rights anymore. So if you're a target, there's virtually nothing you can do.
You worked for these people. You worked on this. You helped to develop it.
I was naive. I did not know how the technologies were going to be put together and the ultimate weapon created.
You're not still working for them?
No.
You're unequivocally looking me right in the eye right now, and you're telling me you have no more to do with this and that you're out to expose it?
That's correct, sir.
With your background and what you know, can you give us a hint on what we ought to do?
No.
No. Is it too late?
I actually believe it's too late.
So what you're telling me, every one of us should be in fear of this because every one of us at some point will be targeted?
The technology's advanced that far.
There is a very real risk that you are going to become a full-blown, 24/7 targeted individual. And this technology, at that point when it is nationwide, will be used by automated computer, supercomputer software programming that will manipulate the emotions and the behavior and the thoughts of everybody in the United States of America. And it can all be done remotely. It's very much like the microchip kind of tracking, the New World Order, this entire, control grid that's supposed to be rolled out against the American people someday. And I'm here to tell you that it's already here. There isn't going to come a day where there's troops in the streets and tanks rolling down your neighborhood and riot gear and all this stuff. We might have isolated incidents like that. It might get like that every once in a while, but the true control grid is this technology.